Okay, let's turn to Exodus chapter 19. We're going to read the first 17 verses. I've asked Wyatt to read that, and that'll kind of set the stage this morning. So go ahead. We're not on there right time this morning just yet. We're going to be chapter 5 of your book, or lesson 5, but we're going to be focusing more on Exodus chapter 19 and talking some about that. So Wyatt, would you go ahead and lead us through that reading?
And in the third month, after the sons of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on that very day they came into the wilderness of Sinai. And when they set out from Rephidim, they came to the wilderness of Sinai and camped in the wilderness. And there Israel camped in front of the mountain. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called him to the foot of the mountain, saying, Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the sons of Israel, You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you out on eagle's wings, and brought you to myself. Now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the sons of Israel. So Moses came and called the elders of the people, and set before them all of these words which the Lord had commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, All that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And Moses brought back the word of the Lord to the people. And the Lord said to Moses, Behold, I will come to you in a thick cloud, so that the people may hear when I speak with you, and may also believe in you forever. Then Moses told the words of the people to the Lord. The Lord also said to Moses, Go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their garments, and let them be ready for the third day. For on the third day the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. And you shall set bounds for the people all around, saying, Beware that you do not go upon the mountain or touch the border of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. No hand shall touch him, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through. Whether beast or man, he shall not live. And when the ram's horn sounds a long blast, they shall come up to the mountain. So Moses went down from the mountain and to the people and consecrated the people. And they washed their garments. And he said to the people, Be ready for the third day. Do not go near a woman. So it came about on the third day, when it was morning, that there were thunder and lightning flashes and a thick cloud upon the mountain, and a very loud trumpet sound, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain.
Thanks, Wyatt. That's really a long reading. I appreciate that. But I want to set kind of the stage. Obviously, this is part of a story I think most of us would know, right? This is the children of Israel. God's freed them from the Egyptian bondage. We've talked about the Red Sea, obviously. They went through that and just, safely. They've traveled. Now they've come to Mount Sinai. And we know what happens at Mount Sinai, right? That's where God gives them the law, the Ten Commandments and the rest of these laws, and specifically to Moses, but he gives to the people. Here he makes a covenant with them, or he says they keep their covenant. That if they obey his voice, keep his commands, he'd be, their own possession, his own possession, and his people, a nation of priests and, a holy nation. So, but I wanted to point out, it's interesting that a couple of verses that maybe help us think about this preparing our hearts for worship, a couple of verses in here that kind of struck me that maybe we can learn from. And really it's verses 10 and 11. So if you take a look at that again, says, The Lord also said to Moses, Go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their garments, and let them be ready for the third day. And for on the third day, the Lord will come down on the Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. So this struck me as interesting because God's going to come down on the mountain. Now, there's only so far they can go, but they are basically going to come out of the camp and approach God, the people. But to do, before they can do that, before they have, there's something that God commands Moses to do to them. And so there's a few words in there I would like for us to point out, think about this morning, that they were instructed to do by Moses. The first one's consecrate. What's consecrate mean? Set apart, I heard. Cleanse. Does anybody have another verse? I mean, another word in their version? Instead of consecrate. Those are right, by the way. Sanctify, maybe. You have sanctify the people. That's that set apart. So we have this idea of they're supposed to go into consecrate the people. So what does that practically mean, though? What do you think they're doing? We're not told specifically, but what are they doing? How are they being consecrated?
So it's like purifying themselves before they can be in the presence of God.
Yeah. So it's a purification. At this point, we don't have the law and all those things. They tell them later on how to purify themselves. He hasn't given them any of that. So how do you think they're purifying themselves?
Washing their clothes, isn't
it? Well, washing their clothes. I'm going to get that in a minute. That's definitely something specific he calls out. We'll talk about that. But as he separates his consecration, I mean, part of it may be the washing the clothes, but that can't be all of it, right? I don't think, Danny. But you're right. There's the washing the clothes.
There's the washing of the cleansing of the mind and getting the mind in the right frame.
Yeah. And I think that's hits on. I mean, it's their heart, right? And I think their mind themselves, purifying themselves, not doing, you know, what at this time they had some instruction, but they didn't have all the law, right? But, you know, not doing those things unclean, as it were. But they're really, I think, focusing on God and setting apart themselves. They're not setting apart themselves physically because they're all together and there's nobody else to set them, not like we say, we think sanctifying ourselves from the world, right? There's really, I don't think, anybody else there with them besides them. They're not separating them. They're already separated from the world out in the wilderness at the Mount Sinai. I don't think there's with anybody else. So it's not that physical setting apart. But it's got to be, to me, I would think, we're not told in real detail, but it's got to be that how you consecrate, you purify yourself. How do you set yourself apart here? What were they doing? I think it's that mental thing, that heart, you know, purifying themselves in that way, and focusing on what they're about to do. What are they about to do? Be with God. They're about to approach God. God's going to come down on the mountain, and they're about to approach Him. And so God tells them to consecrate themselves, set themselves apart. And so, you know, again, we're not told a lot of details what that means, but it's the idea, I think, of that purification, the cleansing. That's what the word does mean. It means, you know, set apart, certainly, but it means to be clean or dedicate, prepare, purify. Those words all are used when they use that word in the Hebrew, and that's, you know, this word consecrate or set apart, sanctify. So they had to be doing that, I think, mentally. They had to do that preparing and focusing on God in their hearts and concentrating on Him and getting ready to approach God in that way. Any other thoughts about that? I mean, again, we're not told a lot of details besides God just says, tells them to consecrate themselves. Okay. So Danny brought up the other thing. He tells them a specific command here also as to what?
Wash
their garments. So why would they do that? Is that
an outward symbol of cleansing themselves?
Yeah, so whether you think if they're preparing themselves, they're consecrating themselves, God tells them to do something physically, right, too. I mean, it's not just this whole thought process. That's actually, you know, a big part of it, obviously, is getting their heart right and their mind right. But he actually goes and tells them to wash their garments, you know. And so they actually, like Edgar said, you know, it's a physical thing they would do. And it's just, we see that a lot, right? If you remember in Leviticus chapter 16, these ideas of Aaron, the high priest at the time, and that's the Day of Atonement, God instructs him how that's going to take place. And he's at this time is when he can enter into the holiest of holies. And God's going to come down there on the mercy seat, his presence, right? And he's going to offer atoning sacrifices. But do you remember something different than others, what he had to do? Different than he had to do at other times when he went into the holiest of holies? What did the high priest have to do, in this case Aaron, in that chapter?
He had to
remember?
Well, you had to wash himself, you had to put on special linen.
Exactly right. So he had to wash himself, that physical washing of his body. He had to cleanse, and it's that. And then he had to put on special clothes, specific for that purpose, to be present himself, to approach God as he was to, you know, be in his presence. And so he had to do that. And then he even had to offer a sacrifice for himself first and his family. And then he would go and offer those atoning, the sacrifice of atonement for the rest of the people. And so, but that first thing he had to do was wash himself and put on all these special clothes. And here are the people also, God's telling, obviously they're probably dirty, by the way. I mean, just physically, they were sure they were dirty because they've been traveling all this time and wandering in the wilderness and things. But they had to, God said, before you approach me, you know, you need to clean your clothes. You need to wash your clothes. And so, again, a physical thing, right? In this Old Testament, that's what the Old Testament, what we know is a lot of physical things they had to do, right? But they always had a purpose, right? They always had a purpose for God. And really, we'll talk about that in a minute, but as we have purpose for us to understand these things. But even the priest and the high priest had to do that, because when they became before God, it was different. When you're approaching to God, it's not like any other time in your life. When you're approaching God, it should be different. And so you should be consecrating yourself, right? That people have told to consecrate, because this is a big deal, God down, coming down on the mountain in front of them. And they realize that, we see at the end of this, if we were to read on in chapter 19. And then they were to wash their garments. You ever notice anything else about this in this verses? I thought this was interesting. Today and tomorrow. So it says to go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow and have them wash their garments. Now you think it took them that long to wash their garments? I know they didn't have a washing machine back then. A little bit more difficult. But do you think that was they were washing their garments the whole time for 2 or 3 days? Or 2 days? So, what do you think they were doing during the 2 days? Go ahead, Casey.
I still think it's part of the mental preparation. Like we had said, you know, they've already had the instruction about not being near the mountain, not touching anything, and that's all setting the mind to what event's going to be taking place. I think it's a lot of mental preparation.
Does it strike you as interesting that it took this long, 2 days, to do that? Or that God even specified a time? What do you think about that? What may that be a symbol, you know, say to you? I don't know.
I just think with the amount of multitude of people over there and having to get all the water, before they're going to get enough water to do that, plus other things they need. So
it could be part of it that it took a while to wash all their clothes, but. I don't know. I don't know if I think that's all of it, but that's just me. I don't think that's the Casey?
The interesting thing to me is have them ready on the third day to meet the Lord. The third day.
Yeah, so there may be some... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Who else showed up on the third day?
Yeah, so there may be some symbology. Right. I mean, I'm saying it's a foreshadowing type thing in here on that third day, for sure, you know, to meet God. I don't know. It struck me as interesting that he just didn't say, go consecrate yourself and go wash your garments and approach God, approach me. You know, it struck me as that he called out a couple of days first, you know. But it also struck me as that there was some preparation ahead of time. It wasn't just like, oh, call everybody to the mountain and come up and see me right here. I'm coming down. Come see me to the mountain, you know, at the mountain, because I'm about to come down. God understood, it looks like it took some time to do these things. There was some preparation that took place, and he specified here in a very specific way how long. But it wasn't just we show up and the people just show up and there God comes down and talks to them. Now, other times he came quickly for certain reasons, maybe punishment and things. But here, remember, they're going to approach God in God's presence. Don't you think even when the high priest did that, Aaron or others, it took some time to get ready for that? It wasn't an instantaneous type thing. I mean, he had to go through the washing to get the right garments, prepare the sacrifice, do the things, and prepare for that. So, I don't know. I just read through this. It struck me. I don't know that there's a time-based thing here, and it took some time to do that. And God expected it to take time to do that before you approached him. that the people approached him, that they were going to be, you know, needing some time to do that, to consecrate themselves and wash their garments. And the last little word that sums it all up, I think, is the word ready. So, what does that imply?
It's important. It's important. Don't just lag back.
Yeah. It's important. So there's some sense that you have to be doing something, right? You know, not just lagging back, right? What other things does it imply? The word, he tells them, have them ready for the third day.
It implies preparation. You know, if you have somebody to your house for dinner, well, you prepare before they get there.
Yeah. So there's something involved ahead of time, right? It's not just showing up, right? The people maybe, they got to get a little, coming to your house, they may get a little prepared too, but they don't spend as much time as the permanent one making the preparations, for
right.
Sure, I know. I know you know that, and most of the women know that. You know, that are inviting people over to get prepared and things for that, visitors to come to your house or whatever it may be. So what else? What does it imply by, I mean, have them ready? Well, I think all the things that have been said. So, was God going to wait, you think, on them if they weren't ready? Did he say, well, I got a few more straggling in over to the mountain and stuff. I'm not going to come down just yet. So, I get the sense that when he came down, he was coming down, right? They weren't setting the time frame for that. God was coming down, and they needed to be ready. That's a big, powerful word, right? I mean, it's a very powerful word, just like we use a lot. We think about when Christ returns, we need to be ready. He's not going to delay. When God tells him to come, he's going to come. But here, the same thing. When God was going to come down on the mountain, they had to be ready. There wasn't going to be any waiting. There wasn't going to wait a minute. Let's have a little bit late start. All those things that we talked about, the consecration, the washing of their garments, all those preparations that they had to do had to be done and completed so they could approach God, approach the mountain where God would be. Just like the high priest, right? He had to do all those things to approach God to be ready to do that. He couldn't have left one of them out. He couldn't have just, you know, delayed. It's like if you missed the Day of Atonement, that wouldn't have been a good thing, would it? So, I mean, he had to be ready, and a lot of those preparations, I'm sure, were made ahead of time, making sure the garments were ready, making sure the sacrifices were going to be there, and everything else. So, again, a big word. So, and you know, we know that powerful word talked about a lot, and it's implied a lot by God over and over again about this readiness, right? We've seen whether it's a parable of the virgins and things, or at the, you know, or whatever it may be, there's this readiness and being ready. And there takes something, but the point is, it takes some input into that on our part. You know, in this case, they had to be purifying themselves, their heart, their mind, their clothes, you know, those physical things, to be ready to approach God. So, all that being said, so we know we're no longer under the old law, right? We no longer have washings, Hebrews 9, and sacrifices, because God, Jesus, has been that one sacrifice for us, you know, forever and forever, once for all, right? And so we don't need to be washing our clothes to approach God. But is there anything we can learn from these events right here besides the fact they had to wash their clothes, right? So, you know, and there's certain physical things they had to do. Later on, the priest, there's certain physical things he had to do. He had to put on a special outfit. You know, he had to do that. He had to make these physical sacrifices and do them a certain way and offer them in a certain order. But is there anything else we can learn from this besides, hey, that's old law stuff. We don't need to look at that anymore, and what the people were instructed to do. Go ahead, Ethan.
Like today, when we get ready, we prepare our hearts before we get here, not just
So exact, I think that's where I'm going with it, obviously, but we're talking about our hearts here, right? I mean, this is what the lesson this week is about. It was about last week, things that could hinder our heart from being prepared for worship. But this is about, you know, the we won't go to the book, but he uses the word tuning our hearts, right? When you think about tuning, what is that when you think about instruments? I don't play an instrument. Some of you do, but what are you tuning? What do you do when you tune?
You're getting ready.
What do you get? You're preparing that instrument, right? You're making sure it matches the notes it's supposed to match. It's your thinking, putting thought into it to get it. You know by your ear when it sounds right, or maybe they have some tuning instrument to make sure it sounds right. But it matches, again, that instrument's matching what is expected to be out of that, right? And so this, I think, is a good thing to say, tuning. You know, in this lesson, we've talked about this whole quarter about hymns, obviously focused on music, but it's that tuning your heart. And so, yeah, there's things we can learn, I feel, even looking at a passage like this, besides just the history of what they did. You know, again, we don't have to wash our clothes like that to approach God. We don't have to put on any special garments to approach God. There's no other washings that we do physically. There's no sacrifices physically that we offer. But to me, I can read a passage, and I, you know, as I read through and think of this lesson, I read this as like, it took some time even to approach God, right? To get ready for that. It wasn't an instantaneous thing. You know, so I ask myself the question as we go through this and thinking about what's, you know, talking about it. It's like, how do I prepare to approach God for worship? And that's, each of us, I think, hopefully you ask yourself that question. But do I consecrate my heart? What do I do to prepare to get my heart ready to come in here and worship? And it's obviously, there's different worships, but I'm thinking maybe even the corporate worship we're doing, like we'll do later this morning on Sunday morning. You know, how do we, you know, consecrate my heart? Is that even a right thing to say? Can I consecrate my heart? That's an open question. Can I set apart my heart? How might I go about doing that? You said intentionally, right? It's with intention. It's not something just haphazard. It's something you purposed, right, to do, and you think about God. So, you know, thinking about the things, and whether those are the blessings we have from Him. Obviously, that would be a big one, right? What are we coming to do, really, worshiping God? One of the big things we do is a remembrance, right? What are we doing? One of the big remembrances we make on the first day of the week, and we're instructed to remember every first day of the week. What's the big one? We remember everything, but I mean, what's the one that we specifically have a special part of on the first day of the week that we remember? The Lord's Supper, the Lord's sacrifice. And so that'd be a good thing to think about. Maybe I ask myself the question, do I think about it beforehand, or do I just think about it when I'm about to listen to the speaker up here in this congregation? We have somebody gives a thought or says a prayer. Or do I just think about it, you know, when I'm open my Bible, that passage maybe, or even while I'm doing it, do I think about it? But when I prepare, do I think about it beforehand, eating the bread, drinking the fruit of the vine, and that sacrifice? But does that mean, I mean, does that make sense on the consecrating the heart? I mean, can we even say that? Can I say I can set apart my heart? Is that even a valid statement to make? I think it is. I mean, it's used in the New Testament some places where even 1 Peter 3, you won't go there, it says, sanctify Christ as Lord in your heart. So we can say, we can set apart. We know that this, and then, you know, am I clean? The washing, we don't wash. Obviously, the washing comes from Jesus and His blood. Right, the sanctification came through Jesus and His sacrifice. But I don't think it's a bad thing to say that, you know, I sanctify my heart. I mean, Peter uses that language. And just like we said, it's an intentional thing. We think about it, right? We think about it. we think about the things we're about to do and how we're about to approach God. Do you think those people were, how do you think? Do you think they were thinking about it, obviously, in those 2 days? We can't tell what they did. It's not a result. We can't say they, every one of them consecrated their heart, consecrated themselves, but they were told to do that. But do you think they were thinking about what was about to happen? I would think so.
I'm sure they were thinking about, hopefully they were thinking about the things that God had already done for them. And realizing the awe of his power that he had there. And you know, that part of that preparation was that I'm sure that the mountain was some distance outside the camp. And so it took some time to walk to for the designated area. And so I would hope to think it was not somebody running at the last moment, a sprint to try to get there. And they were already there, and they were ready, and they were prepared in their minds to be with God. And I think that's one of the things we need to do, is to prepare. We listen to choral music from Harding or from one of the other schools in preparation and sing along with them as we're coming into services to prepare and get our minds in the right area.
Yeah, I mean, I think those are all things, putting our mind in the right order, right? And that's what one of the words that consecrate is the right order, you know, and, you know, setting our parts apart from everything else that may be in our mind. There's all sorts of things to think about every day, every one of us, right? And it's a distraction, and Satan uses it as a distraction, all these other things. So, you know, and that's tough to do. It's easy to say, tough to do. Believe me, it's for me, it's tough to do, is always keep my mind focused on that. So there may be different things and different tools, and I'll get to the very end of this. I'll, you know, talk about that again. But there may be different things you do or can do or we should do to maybe keep us focused. It's just like if you're doing anything and you want to maintain focus, you know, there's certain things you can do, right? But you actually have to first think about the focus and think about what you're doing and know what right looks like. I think that's part of it, is obviously knowing what right looks like. We talked about tuning our hearts, like tuning an instrument. The musician knows what right is, right? And that's part of it too, is maybe looking at the truth, studying God's word ahead of that, our worship. And so, and making you understand we're thinking on those right things. And I asked the question, this is for me, you can ask, you know, these things I think about, I said, when I think, and just long, they're washing their garments, it's no longer about washing my garments, right? They are clean, by the way, but no longer washing my garments, you know? But am I clean? Is my heart, we're talking about heart, is my heart cleaned and prepared? Now, obviously, like I said, I understand and not imply that we have anything in the cleansing there in terms of what Christ does for us. His blood is what cleanses our heart. But can we, should our hearts be clean when we approach God? Can you think of any verses maybe that talk about that?
Hebrews 10.
What does Hebrews 10 say?
Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. With our hearts sprinkled clean from the evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water. It also goes on shortly after that to say, let us consider how to stir up one another to love, good works, not neglecting to meet together as the habit of the Son, but encouraging one another and all the more as you see the day drawing near.
Great, Tim. So we have to have our hearts sprinkle that purification. It's using that imagery of the blood sprinkling, right? But it's got Christ's blood. So again, it's not Christ's blood is the ones that cleanses us, but we have some part in that, I think. I think we can't just say, well, that's what God, that's on Jesus' side. I don't have anything to do with my heart being clean. I think we know that. That's simple stuff. But do we do that before we approach God in worship? Do we approach him? They were physically washing their garments. As a guy, like Idris said, these were symbols and things that they had to do to help them focus on what they were supposed to do in their heart. That was the whole point of what they were doing and a lot of and understand who God is. But for us, we don't do those things. But do I get my heart ready? Do I make sure, you know, my heart is clean before I approach God? Just because that could hinder my worship if it doesn't. Even, you know, in 1 Corinthians 11, they had the problem with the Lord's Supper, right? But he's talking about examine themselves. Part of that is making sure their heart was right, that examination of yourselves, ready to partake of the Lord's Supper. So, you know, Tim gave us a perfect verse. And then it was mentioned many times, I think Danny mentioned it, but when do I begin to prepare? He gave them a specific time frame here, right? He doesn't give us any specific time frame, but this is a question you answer. I need to ask myself, is it like when I'm getting in the car to come here, do I start preparing? You know, do I start rush around and it's like the thing I think about? Maybe it is in the car when I'm just, is it only in the car when I'm listening to, you know, things? Those are helpful aids, by the way. I'm not knocking those. But this is personal questions. When do you need to start preparing? Because he doesn't say 2 days before, because on the first day of the week I'm going to come and you're going to approach me in worship. But when do you start preparing? They took them 2 days to get ready. It may have been washing clothes, but I don't think that's all of it. I think there was more to it. But, you know, unless there was one person washing all their clothes, then it would have taken a month probably. But when do you start preparing? Now, when do I start preparing? And this is a critical question I need to ask myself. And you may do much better than I hope you do. Is start thinking about what I'm about to do on a Sunday morning and worshiping God. It shouldn't be to me, I feel for myself, and I hope you may think the same, that it shouldn't be a last-minute thing, right? It didn't seem to be a last-minute thing to God when he told these people or when he told the priests and everything they had to do. They had to do physical things, but it didn't seem to be a last-minute thing. It should be an ongoing thing, obviously, right? We should always be prepared to worship God, to come before him. But it doesn't always happen that way. But I think a separate apart from our daily lives and being prepared and cleansing our hearts, to me, I should be doing more ahead of time to get myself prepared for the first day of the week. Because it's a special time that God has set apart for me to be part of the body. Let's talk about me. For me to be part of the body, that I'm actually with brethren, that I'm approaching God, approaching him to worship him, approaching him to remember the things he did for me, approaching him to remember and recognize and proclaim his son's death. So, just some thoughts. When do you begin to prepare? God hasn't given us any guideline. He didn't say start 3 or 4 days ahead of time. Edra?
One thing that's helpful for me is start when you first wake up on Sunday morning and thank God and talk to him about being with you today as we worship.
Yeah, and I mean, that's great. I mean, so, you know, that's part of that consecrating our minds, preparing. We wake up, that should be our thoughts and, you know, and things. Danny, do you have something to add to that?
My mother would always tell us when we were going out on Saturday night, if we had a day to go home, she would say, get home early. Tomorrow is the Lord's day. We get ready today. She never let me forget that, not once.
Well, she was a good mom for you then. So I don't know what the time frame is. It's going to be different for everybody, right? And like again, God does not say you got to do it this X amount of time. You have to decide that. I have to decide it for myself. But the point is, when I'm ready to approach God, I should be ready, right? I should be ready. Those people, he wasn't going to wait on them. They were going to be ready. And so they had to know. He gave them a time frame. For us, we should, you know, examine ourselves and know, is it a last minute thing? I don't think anybody in here would say it's a last-minute thing. You just show up. So you're not approaching God. I feel what the Scripture says, that you're approaching God the way you should. You can't have time to purify your heart, consecrate yourself, be cleaned in that respect if you just show up. Did it have a hand raised back there?
I know, just especially with, like, having teenagers, we've implemented with them, like, Friday night, stay up, do what you want, but Saturday night,
yeah, and that starts even parents as young as the older, younger than the teenagers. Believe me, I got two older ones now going to college, but, you know, I still even sometimes, like, get ready, you know, and stuff, be ahead of time. It's like, you know, it doesn't change when they get in college, by the way. So hopefully it does. And that's tough. I get it. I mean, I've been there and stuff. It's tough for parents to, you know, that's part of what you do is in preparing them to get them get ready and to physically to get ready. And it's tough to keep the focus. And so, maybe for yourself, I'm just suggesting things. I mean, but you know, and because I'm not, again, this is stuff I need to work on. I'm telling you, it's not stuff I'm good at. But maybe for myself, I get prepared even further for that, get my mind right. Maybe that moment of time where we're trying to get everybody ready and stuff, so I'm not 100% focused then, but I've already done some preparation before then. I've started thinking about worship. I've started thinking about God and what his son's done for me. Before then, So, because I know the chaos is going to come, right? I mean, just part of being a parent and young kids all the way up to college-age kids. So that chaos is still there sometimes. So that's a great point, you know. And so maybe we adjust in things. But the point I'm trying to make in all this is hopefully we can learn from what this event's happened here. And we'll talk more about these as we go into Wednesday, looking still at this tune in our heart. Because there's some other things that I think we can look at events that happen here, but we'll talk about. But really, this it just struck me, these couple of verses, is what God gave them specific instructions before they could approach him. And he expected specific things to happen. And they followed those things. They did it. He said they did it. They consecrated themselves. They washed their clothes. They were ready. They were there up the mountain. And then he came down. They weren't lagging back. They weren't saying, hey, we need another day, God. Give me another day. Maybe my clothes aren't clean. I don't think it's like. But, you know, they were ready. And so they did those things. So it just struck me is that these verses in the midst of this, I know I can learn from this besides the fact this washings we don't do and sacrifices, like I said. We can still learn how God expects us to approach him. Any other thoughts? We only have a few minutes. I'm about out of this. Any other thoughts? Go ahead, Ben.
You know, for me personally, I try to start out thinking about God every evening before I go to bed. But going back to the scriptures to look at, knowing the hope's Lord, I think God is foremost in their minds after that event.
Yeah. And if they weren't purely thinking about when he came down, we'll talk about that. If they were, when he did come down, they were really thinking about it then.
But there is a great danger.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't have that, though. We don't have him coming down and with the thunders and the smoke and all that, right? So, I mean, we don't have that. We have it, but we should. We have it in our mind and understanding, but we don't have the physical symbols. Right? So, just an interesting thing. And this is attributed to Abraham Lincoln, but I don't know if anybody can prove he actually said it, but it says, give me 6 hours to chop down a tree, and I will spend the first 4 sharpening the axe. I don't know if he said that or not. I think you can read that. He may not, but it's a good thing, right? What's that telling us? What's that say? The most important part is sometimes, not the most important part, but the big part of it, the significant part here is the preparation. So the same thing I think God expects, from what I can understand, is before we approach him, we should be preparing ourselves and be ready. And that's a key word in all these verses. So, if you would for me, you don't have to, but if this elected, but you can text me like you did last time before Wednesday. It may help me out. And I'll share those, but I'll share them anonymously if you do that. But because some of you already said some of these things, what are ways you prepare or would like to prepare? Maybe it's things you've thought about that you'd like to do differently, just whatever reason. You can't get it done, but you want to prepare to worship God on Sunday morning. I'm specifically talking about before you come here on Sunday morning and worship like we're about to do. What are things you do? It may help others, I think, if we share those ideas. We've heard some, like I said, and they're good ideas. I know some of you listen to the acapella music, some of certain things in your car because I can hear it when you drive up or something. So there may be other things. Edra said, you know, first thing in the morning, getting ready. So think about those things. If you would, text me those for one day. We'll continue on with this thought of our tuning of our heart. And think about these things. Appreciate all the comments.